Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and we are at Mars, the McGowan Art Retreat and / Studio. I don't know if you can hear it, but we had to retreat to the cabin because the cicadas are in, the 13 years, and they have woken up and they are in full swing. I'm excited about the day. I've never talked to a sculptor. I have Lawson King here with me. Lawson, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so... man, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from the Mississippi Delta, born and raised. Was raised in Indianola, Mississippi. Currently living in Cleveland, Mississippi.
Delta State.
Yeah, Delta State. And I'm teaching there, or I was teaching there up until recently. I don't know if you know all the stuff that's going on over there.
I don't.
That came out Monday. A lot of.
Can you share?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's public information, but there's some pretty big, substantial changes happening because of budget issues, and so they've had to restructure a lot of the college, and unfortunately, the art department is one that...
So are they going to focus more on the music aspect?
Well, I don't know, man. It's pretty bleak, honestly. It seems like they've kind of combined the traditional music route and the traditional art route into one kind of more generalized degree that I don't really see is going to pull anybody. Most of my students, they came because they said, well, you had sculpture, you had animation, you had photography, you had all these different majors. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked, but it's just kind of sad, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, caught you in a downward spiral.
Man, it is what it is. I'm out here, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take some me time, That's what this is about.
Well, great, man. I mean, I guess with that is, no better place to be able to have that time to yourself than out here at Mars.
Tell me about it, man.
What's the experience been like for you?
It's been great, man. It's honestly been super just what I needed, I've been dealing with a lot, obviously with the school and all, but otherwise, my grandma passed a couple weeks ago or last week. It was very recently. So that's been, anyway, I'm out here, I'm enjoying myself. And it's been, just like these cicadas, it's kind of been sort of a rebirth for me.
Yeah.
Where I've been feeling that energy of that rebirth, that kind of reinvention, that kind of, when hard times come, you figure something out.
Yeah, man, I can totally relate to that, dude. I've been going through a lot of changes lately myself. My dad passed in January.
Sorry.
And, it comes in phases, it seems like, to where you just be sitting at the work desk or driving in the truck, and then all of a sudden you're just hit with it. And it's just waves. But with that, I found I've, and this is why I love that talking to people like you, and I consider myself to be artistic, because it gives you an out. It gives you a way to release that without having to punch drywall or whatever else, right?
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, art is something that is definitely nourishing for the soul, you know. I mean, it definitely feeds your soul in a lot of different ways. And, you know, what there's no better place than going out in the country and being with yourself, being with the woods, being with the land, being with the cicadas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's so loud when you walk in there in the woods, and you just, like, your ears are kind of ringing because there's just thousands of them.
Oh, brother, when I pulled up, I was hoping to be able to do it out on the pavilion. That's typically, like, where we would do these interviews. And I stepped out, and my ears just started ringing. And I told Joe, I was like, there ain't no way. I was like, this is not going to be a good listening experience. As much as I would love to capture them, I was like, they're just too much.
Right.
So, and I'm sure people are still hearing a little bit of it, even though, like, we're in the cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
But tell me a little bit about, like, Indianola, dude, growing up. Like, what was you into?
I guess Indianola, you know, I grew up in the 90s, so, you know, my mama had a video store. And, you know, so I grew up in a video store. Maybe that's why I kind of have an aversion. I never really got super into movies or videos or TV, anything like that. Maybe it's because I just was surrounded by it growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched Space Jam over and over, you know, my whole life. But, you know, growing up in that video store, I do remember, like, one of my favorite things to do was put together all the little cardboard displays. Because my mama, she would get these, like, you know, big displays. You know, kind of like when you go to the movies, you still see those big cardboard displays.
Yeah, the cutouts.
Yeah, like cutouts, and there's all these tabs, and, like, this piece to that piece, and it's just real kind of, it's kind of like cardboard Legos or, you know, something like that. And that was always really fun. But otherwise, you know, I didn't have art in school, or there's not just, like, an art community around there. So it wasn't really something that I knew or that I kind of thought I could do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you didn't really see it from your peers, right?
Nah, no way. Nobody I knew was like, I want to be an artist.
So was it sports? What were you into?
I was more into just out. I was just out on my bike, man. Me and my friends, we would just be out on our bikes, and we would just be all over town just kind of, you know, doing random stuff.
Yeah.
You know, little kid stuff, jumping, you know, crate plank ramps with your bike, and
dust the dome lights come on, it's time to go home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. yeah. But it, you know, wasn't a whole lot to do there. Playing basketball. I played basketball a lot growing up, and you know, art just wasn't that big of a thing in my life. But, you know, so my grandmother, she actually is the reason I'm an artist. She's an artist. Or she was an artist.
Was she in Indianola?
She was actually in Cassilla, which is in the hills of Mississippi. It's in Tallahatchie County. I don't know if you
would that familiar. Be up around hill country, like up around Oxford? Or?
South of Oxford. They call it the Free State of Tallahatchie County.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. It's wild out there. But it's just gorgeous. And, you know, this place actually has been bringing me back to that, you know, my grandma's place a lot, because she had a pond, and, you know, she had, like, just beautiful outdoors and just natural landscape for you to be enveloped in, you know.
What kind of art would she do?
She was a sculptor, actually, but she taught ceramics at Delta State for a number of years, I think 13 years. And she did a lot of art about being a woman. And kind of all the hardships, you know, being a woman, being a mother, I mean, all the hardships that you kind of, she did a lot of figurative art, or abstracted figurative, but she taught ceramics for years, and, you know, I remember going in there when I was a little kid and thinking that space was so big, and now, you know, I've been teaching there for a few years, and I'm like, man, we need more space, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful thing to walk in her footsteps.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, like, when you would go up to the Free State and visit, you began to see her art and the self-expression. Would she be your first teacher?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. She was always encouraging all the grandchildren to do art in any form. And she's got a studio out there that my dad helped her build. She had all these ceramic wheels, and she had several kilns, and we would do all these goofy little ceramics, you know, our whole lives. And now I have all these, like, really random, goofy little pieces that I made when I was a kid. Most of them are ashtrays, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think they were intended to be ashtrays back then.
Just what it turned into.
They, you know. But there's, you know, a lot of really beautiful, beautiful memories made out there.
Yeah.
And is super instrumental in my growth or exposure to art.
So when you were coming out of high school, with her influence, did you know that you were going to pursue art?
Actually, no. I actually went to the Mississippi School for Math and Science in Columbus.
Oh, shout out, dude. I'm very fond of that place. I lived in Columbus for years, and a lot of my friends, they teach and went there, too.
It's a great place, man. And, you know, coming from Indianola, like I said, there wasn't a whole lot going on. It was very kind of living in a bubble kind of thing. And, man, going to MSM has just changed my whole world, you know. I mean, I just met so many different people from different backgrounds, cultures, religions, you know, what have
you.
Yeah,
it's like a boarding school, too. Like,
yeah.
So you're kind of stuck
there.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Boom. Yeah. So we just, you know, we hung out. We had fun. We had our fun, good and bad fun. But we played a lot of basketball, you know. Like I said, that actually is where I took my first art classes, like, in school.
Okay.
Because I didn't have them back in Indianola. But yeah, anyway, so, like, coming out of high school, all my classmates, I'm obviously very influenced by them at this point. You know, I'm young, I'm like 16, 17. And everybody's going to go be a doctor or this or that. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to go be a psychologist. I like, you know, I like
the human mind.
Human mind. I'm interested in that. And, you know, I went to Ole Miss, got a degree in psychology. And, you know, the whole time I took art classes, but I started working in that field. I started working in that field, and I just realized I couldn't compartmentalize like I needed to. Like, I feel like I would have been so depressed if I worked in that field, just because I couldn't, like, leave work at work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would take it home.
I have a couple of psychologist friends, and I mean, that's the one thing that they tell me is, like, one is you can't, a friend of yours, someone you personally know, can't be your patient. And it makes sense, because, like, all the, you know, it's that animation of, you see, like, someone who is contrasted as a dark figure, and then someone who is a lighter figure comes to, like, bring them a little light, but little by little they take on that darkness until, like, they're completely dark and they're just carrying the burdens of everyone else.
Man.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I believe, like, psychologists and therapists and, like, counselors and people who work in that field, it's like the stories and some of the burdens and pains that you've heard is like, how can you not just walk around with that, you know?
It takes a special mind, and I doubt that a lot of psychologists actually have it. You know, they're honestly probably just sacrificing themselves, you know, for their patients or for the check. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just knew it wasn't for me. I knew I would be, like, so sad.
Was it a hard pivot? Like, after you learned that you wasn't going to do psychology, to transition over to art?
Well, it kind of happened naturally. And that's kind of the really great thing about it is, I was living actually with my grandma at that time, and she was teaching, some classes and some art classes, and she had come down with like pneumonia or something. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, you know, my grandson, he can teach. So I kind of just started to fill in for her. And it was just something that I really enjoyed and something that, you know, gave me a lot of energy, creative energy, and, you know, emotional happiness energy. And the people, you know, they liked me. They kept asking me to come back and teach. And so then I just started teaching art to kids through several, like, different nonprofits around the Delta and stuff. One being Delta Arts Alliance. That was, like, my first teaching gig. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it just kind of happened naturally. And then at a certain point, I'm just having so much fun with it. And I'm just loving, you know, every day. And I say, well, I need to do this full time. I need to commit to it, you know.
What style of art would that be in the early days? Was it more ceramic, or, like, was it paint and pen, or was it kind of a mix?
I guess in the early days, it was, for me, my personal art was just all over the place. It was kind of experimentation, you know, with as many different media as I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
Just to kind of figure out what I like and what sticks and what stimulates, you know, and what excites my mind, I guess. But eventually, I kind of landed on sculpture just because I'm kind of a busybody sometimes, you know. I'm pretty chill, but I'm a busy kind of body, and, you know, doing something with my whole body like sculpture, you know, is so intimate, you know, with the work and the process, and it kind of creates this bond, or it's a deeper, it's a physical connection, you know, that you have with the work on top of the mental or you know, whatever thought process you've already put into it. You're kind of putting your body into it,
and you're literally molding it.
Yeah. it's a dance. Like that's yeah. What my grandma told me, it's like you have fun dancing with your sculpture, you know.
So like different types of sculptures you've worked with, do you have like a favorite media? Like, do you ever like, is it always like clay, or do you ever like move on to like rebars and like different metals, or is it a mix?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I've generally had more work in, like, steel, you know, making stuff for outdoors. You kind of have to build it so that it'll withstand the elements, and steel is kind of, you know, steel, stainless steel, aluminum. Aluminum, you know, would be great. It's expensive, though, but I love aluminum. That's probably my favorite material. It's just expensive, and yeah.
You a good welder?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm pretty good.
That's one thing that I like about like sculpting, and like I've been like looking at some of your work, and you know, seeing the steel work and even the aluminum, and I was like, man, in the meantime of doing this, he really picked up a cool trade.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm, like, not too worried. I'm like, well, if everything goes to shit, I can still just go be a welder somewhere, you know? And still, you know, I mean, I have a couple welders of my own. I'm pretty good on the MIG. I know my way around the MIG. The TIG, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm practicing. It's a little harder.
You got your own machines, or do you...
I've got my own machines.
Yeah.
I just, you know, investing over time.
Well, cool, man. So, like, just from covering, teaching your grandma's classes and working your way through Ole Miss, like, kind of bring me up to today with the art. And I understand that some of your art is on display throughout some of the towns here in Mississippi. Did it all just naturally, like, kind of like your story has been kind of natural?
Like it, man. It just seems like it. It feels like I just put my energy out there, and sometimes the universe says fuck you, and then sometimes the universe is like, here you go, buddy. Have an okay time. So I guess after I started teaching, I met one of my first mentors, Mike Stanley, who was the sculpture professor at Delta State. And so in Cleveland, there's a really wonderful sculpture garden, and I'm on the board, or on the committee. I don't know. They call it different things. I'm on the committee. And we have over 40 permanent pieces, and then we also do a rotating show of 17 pieces. So there's like 50-something outdoor sculptures in Cleveland, Mississippi. You know, it's got to be like the biggest per capita, but I don't know. So I eventually decided to go back to school, study with Mike, and I got involved with the Sculpture Garden. They kind of gave me like a fellowship to do my thesis, which was some large sculpture work. And then I met my second mentor, I met Ray Katz, because he's a sculptor from Detroit who was showing in that exhibition. And we kind of started to chat, and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I just graduated. And he was like, what's your plans? I was like, I don't know. And he was like, you want to come to Detroit and work with me? And I was like, sure. And so I went to Detroit.
So as far as traveling, have you ever went that far?
I'd never lived that far away.
Okay.
I traveled a bit, but I'd never lived that far away. And so, yeah, I lived in Detroit with him for about 2 years, a little over 2 years maybe, and just worked, you know, every day, Monday through Friday, even weekends sometimes, and just making sculpture. And, you know, that was just such a enriching experience because, you know, it's, you know, the technical skills obviously were improved, but it was like just watching how he worked and feeding off his energy and his passion for the work he did. And just the conversations, I mean, even just the conversations at lunch. Every day we'd have by the river, we'd just have conversations about art. And art, you know, conversations about art often lead to more bigger picture kind of things. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, just been a whirlwind. And then I came back right before COVID, and eventually I started this program in Clarksdale called Kahoma Collective. It's like an artist in residence program, and so I was there for a year and a half. And had a studio there. It was really great. Clarksdale's a really fun place.
Man, if you ain't a fan of the blues, get out, right?
Clarksdale's, man, we were living downtown. It was just so much fun because you could just, like, you know, look out the window and you're just like, okay, stuff going on out there.
Dude, I love that place. Like, the Shack Up Inn and just, like, all the different venues. And it's like you said, you could walk or you could drive to downtown Clarksdale at 9 a.m. and there's someone in there in a coffee shop playing the blues.
Yeah, and they and they all have just incredible stories, you know. I mean, everybody there just has such an incredible, like, life story, and I feel like you can learn from anybody there. I mean, you can, I don't know. It's a weird, magical place.
Yeah.
It's a weird, magical place.
Man, life in Mississippi, right? Yeah, shout out to it, like your print over here with Kermit.
Yeah,
Hanson. Yeah. He's from Mississippi, but I really like that print because like it kind of takes me to the crossroad. He's got to give you a mental image. He's got a Kermit's red and he's got devil horns and he's playing a guitar. So it kind of takes me to like the crossroad.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So I did. I actually made that while I was in Clarksdale. You know, I'm surrounded by the blues, that energy, and, you know, the story of Robert Johnson, mm-hmm. you know, going to the crossroads, you know, trading his soul to the devil for unreal, you know, guitar skills. And so I kind of depicted Kermit as this devil, mm-hmm. and it is a nod to, you know, Jim Henson, who's a master, who's from the Delta, and it's just kind of a fun little mashup, and he's sitting on one of those cotton roll-ups, like the modern ones.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, they used to have the bales, but now they have those like ones that are rolled up in the pink plastic and all.
Oh yeah, we're fancy now.
Yeah, I know. It's just we're polluting more, but it's a fun little print, man. But yeah, man, the Delta is just got a lot of creative energy, and there's a lot of really creative, talented people there.
And just back to Clarksdale for a minute. I mean, Morgan Freeman. I mean, we know him from narrating. We're both like '90s kids, so I mean, he's practically narrated our lives.
He's God.
Yeah.
When I talk to God,
Bruce Almighty.
When I talk to God, Morgan Freeman responds.
Yeah. And he's got his blues joint in Clarksdale Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And you're in Clarksdale, doing the sculptures, hanging out there. What would come next for you?
Well, while I was in Clarksdale, I met some really great folks. Shout out my guy Devin Liston. He's a painter from Seattle, and man, we had a big show in I think 2022 that was just so much fun, and we had some really exciting work together. We did some collaborative pieces, but it was just super creative, you know, very creative energy. And kind of about the time when all that was coming to an end, the chair at Delta State reached out and said that, you know, they needed somebody to fill in on an emergency. And so I was like, all right, I went and started teaching sculpture at Delta State. And so they, you know, that they don't, basically they want someone who has an MFA. I don't have an MFA. And they want somebody who has an MFA, but because it was such, you know, short notice, they hired me because they know me. I had the portfolio, I had the, you know, work to show and all. But anyway, you know, 3 years later, and I was still there and still teaching, still happy, still getting incredible work out of my students. And that kind of leads us to today, I guess. And, you know, this is just now with the university being under so much change, mm-hmm. it's kind of uncertain, which is pretty sad. But I don't know, man. You know, art's going to survive no matter who tries to cut it in one form or another. You know,
that's real.
Folks like you are going to carry it on.
Yeah.
Folks like me are going to carry it on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Folks like Joe.
Oh, yeah, Crazy Joe. He'll be popping in here in a minute. But not Crazy Joe. We all love Joe. Speaking of which, I think he's walking up. But, man,
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What time, man? That's crazy.
We spoke into existence,
Joe. I said your name 2 seconds ago, man.
So, Joe McGowan here is joining us. He is... he's the man here at Mars. He puts all this together. He's the guy that invites all these artists, musicians come out here in Sessoms, Mississippi to spend some time out in nature and to kind of nurture and see what this place can pick out of their brains. Joe, you got anything you'd like to share?
Well, I mean, we're always glad to have a new person come in. Lawson, we've met a couple times, and he's...
How'd y'all meet?
He was a juror for the Cotton District Arts Festival, I think last year, and somehow or another we arranged for him to stay here overnight in the cabin, actually, through the Arts Council, and so we met him then, and then seemed like you were here recently, had given a talk at MSU with some other sculptors, a little board panel talk, and I went and watched that. That was good. So I guess this is the third time I really met you, and yeah, we were, I like what he had to say, and his ideas about art and the community really was important to me. I mean, you know, people can do whatever they want to, but I love some of the things he said about, I put something out there. I don't know what people think. You know, I don't know how they react. It's like a science experiment, but you don't get to see the results. It's very interesting, but his work is so positive. You know, I think that most people are going to respond in a good way, you know. So that's cool. And I hope he's having a good time here. I mean, not a good time. I don't want him to have a good time.
Having a horrible time.
I hope he's out here. You know, just the time, I think it helps. And I never really had these things before. And I think it's helpful, though, to get away and have a little time to really focus on yourself. Recalibrate, I guess, you know. You know, I hope you're recalibrating.
It's kind of like how the conversation's really been going. This has been a recalibration.
Rebirth, man.
And you don't, you know, you like the cicadas. You don't have to...
Rebirth.
you don't have any pressure. You get a little money, you get a little place to live for a week or so, in your case a week, and you just can make art. You don't, you know, no one's like, oh, you know, you don't have any stresses of everyday life for a week. You know, I think that can be really helpful. Get away and reevaluate life, you know, get back to being in nature is awesome. And we do have some very interesting aspects of nature here.
Yeah,
man.
Well, just artist to artist, and I know that Joe, you and Joseph like to collaborate with the artists while they're here. Have y'all had an opportunity to kind of talk art and maybe even begin to think about ideas of working together?
We haven't had a lot of time with the short time he's here to collaborate, and we've both been very busy with them to, you know, certain things going on, you know, me and Joseph. But we've talked a little bit, and I can see us in the future coming up with some really fun ideas, and I know we would like to, we hadn't physically collaborated, but more on the thought process and how, what might generate ideas, you know. I think we'll definitely talk more about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think Joe and I have had some really great, creative conversations, and Joe's got such great creative energy, and, you know, energy is probably a word that's synonymous with Joe. No, it's great, man. It's been really lovely being out here, honestly. I really appreciate you, Joe, for stressing that fact of, like, this is for you, not, you know, for you to make work, but for you to use it however you need. And I really appreciate that.
If you make work, that's great.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dude. Yeah,
but it's not like there's no real purpose. Just
right. You know. I mean, like I said, man, it's been a crazy kind of whirlwind of a year, and this has just been right what I needed, man. It's been really nourishing, you know, on a deep level.
Well, we're really happy to hear that.
Yep. So along with, and if you listen to the show or if you're paying attention to what goes on at the SAAC. Are now the Idea Shop in downtown Starkville. What kind of events do we have coming for Lawson?
Well, we did have a meet and greet last weekend, but now we're gonna have a one night show at the Idea Shop. I believe it's 114 East Main Street, Starkville, Mississippi. It's tomorrow, Thursday, May 16th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. He's gonna show some of his small sculptures. He's going to show his legs, perhaps, and maybe some small, like some prints. I don't know what all he's going to have. We're going to have a few, you know, we'll have some light snacks and beverages for folks.
Some gummy worms.
The Idea Shop seemed, we try to rotate artists around to different places. We don't have a ton of spaces available, but we try to rotate them, depending on who they are. And the Idea Shop, they have this great shop in there, and it just kind of suits who he is as a artist with all their machinery and gadgets and, you know, whatnot.
Shout out Stephen Bailey.
Yeah, Stephen Bailey is the director of what, I don't know what his position is there, but he's been really helpful when we've needed the space. The Starkville Arts Council actually has a opening tomorrow night as well, the same time, same date. Theirs will be at the Visual Arts Center on University Drive. And I'm hoping we can
collaborate.
Have people go back and forth. Spend a few minutes or 30 minutes here, come to us, and vice versa. It's always nice when we have multiple openings. I think, I wish there were 10 in a night. You know, I mean, more is better to me. But of course, I've mentioned this obviously before. We couldn't do any of this, I mean, without support from people, individuals, J.C. Long, Perry Norton, yourself. The Dale Randon Foundation is huge. You know, they help pay the stipends we give to artists. And the Mississippi Arts Commission, we were able to get some money from them last year and funnel it to the Randon Foundation. So, you know, and then some individuals help out here and there. It's great.
Right on. The question I was about to pose to Lawson right when you walked up was we were just getting to his teaching, and I mean, you had brought up he had given a lecture at MSU, and so, man, just out of curiosity, is like, let's say it's your first day in the class and you got a room of 15-20 students. I mean, how do you open up? Like, how are you trying to bring the art out of these people? What's the move?
It's
got to be different for each person.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, you're totally right about that. It is different for each classroom, but I mean, I think the first thing to do is to get people comfortable, and that's just to kind of be myself and be like really down to earth with people and just like establish a good rapport with the students on an honest level, not like I'm your teacher, you know, but be really just straight up real with them and, you know, not make it, you know, some big deal. But I think for me, like getting results out of my students is to allow them to experiment, is to allow them to make mistakes, is to encourage, crazy ambitious ideas, even though I kind of know that they're going to fail. But you know, all those moments are going to lead to incredible learning moments for them and for me, you know, and we just get, you know, some really, really incredible projects, you know, taking that leap and being ambitious and caring so much about the work. I think establishing that care for the work and that passion for the work and breathing that and living that kind of is how I like to do that.
Right on. Lawson, what have you been making of Mars, man? Like just waking up in the morning or late in the evening or even at night, like what are you taking away from the place?
Man, I got a baby at home. He's 9 months old.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been sleeping through. Well, I still wake up several times, just kind of out of habit. But I realize I'm like, okay, I don't have to change a diaper right now. But man, it's been great. I wake up, I make a little breakfast, I go out for a walk, and you know, clear my head, just be. I mean, I don't have a choice but to clear my head because all this noise, you know, mm-hmm. the cicadas are just. But anyway, it's very cleansing. It's been super cleansing.
Yeah.
What
about like some of your work while you've been here? Like, has anything like that you've been working on? Has it felt inspired from here, or is it something that you already had in your head?
I mean, yeah, I guess I did start on a couple of new small pieces, but. I guess one thing I'm really trying to focus on is not thinking too hard about it. And, I do feel like this is kind of like a rebirth moment for me. So I've been thinking pretty hard about other bigger things, like, you know, anyway, but
where do you go from here kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm not... I feel like I've been making the same type of work for a while, and I'm excited to kind of think about making different work.
Very cool. You couldn't think of a better place, man. I don't know if you've seen some of Joe's stuff, but it gets a little out there sometimes.
It's different, as they say. It's different.
One thing, and it sounds like he may be similar, like the way I use inspiration. I don't unless I'm drawing something specifically of a plant or something, an animal or an insect, when I'm drawing my other stuff, I like all the different stimuli to come into my head. And I like to go in there and let it bounce around, let it simmer, boil, I don't care. You know, I might not, I could be walking around in a new place and be, wow, this is amazing. I'm really going to be using some of this material, but I might not use it for a couple of years, or I don't know how I'm going to use it. But it's in there, and you can't help that it, you know, you can't help it. It's going to affect who you are.
It's marinating.
It's going to help your, you know, where you're going, what you're doing, what you're creating. Mm-hmm. You just can't help it, you know. So I feel like that organic inspiration is really important to me. And it sounds like it is to you at some level. I'm really curious to see, like, if you, in a couple years from now, if you have this really neat movement based on black belt prairie cicadas,
yeah,
fossil shell, like, ideas, or I wonder, you know, where it go, like, growth, you know, meaning.
Yeah, no, I, man, it's so crazy because I'm really into, like, fossils and rocks and, you know, outdoors, and, like, this is just such a perfect place to be that, and you're right, like, it's not always so literal. I don't always, like, have the words to describe the transition my mind is experiencing, or the growth that it's experiencing, but I just know that it's happening because I know that I'm intentionally, you know, saving space for it and creating space for it.
He's been walking the creek, finding, oh, well, he found a really big piece of pottery shard.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Some of the indigenous folks that lived here 1,500 years ago, you know, just things like that. You know, it's really, the timeline of things is cool. He's a sculptor, and we're all artists out here. You know, you see these bits of ceramic pieces from almost 2,000 years ago, possibly, and there's bits of fossils in there, you know, and, you know, we're talking about using, and we use fossils out here, and it's just really fun, the cyclic nature of art and people and place, you know.
Yeah. Puts things in perspective. It'd be interesting, like, using that piece, and, like, one of your pieces is almost like a throwback or something, right?
It would be meta. Meta AF, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get better than that.
It's real, man. And I'm super into that type of stuff, so it's really great to have, you know, Joe to feed back and forth with, and, you know, somebody to be as excited as I am, you know, to find these types of things, man, because it's so special. Like, you know, the last person to touch that jar lived a couple thousand years ago.
Yeah, right.
And then I just found it in the creek out here, you know.
And, like, just, you might pick up a fossil that just washed out of this sub, you know, level chalk, and you might literally are probably the first person who saw that fossil ever.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many fossil caches out there.
Yeah,
I've found, like, piles and piles of them in the creeks, and they're just gorgeous. Some of them look like those Pillsbury flaky biscuits, you know.
Yeah,
and
you gotta know what you're looking for, right?
Yeah, yeah, Chris, yeah. When you see the biscuit, that's when you know. That's they're gorgeous, man. It's just it's really you know, amazing to just take that in.
This is it's a little bit before we got rolling, but I think Joe accused you of bailing off into the creek. Is that what you were going in at?
Well, he definitely...
I did that before you got here.
He definitely was out there walking the creek. You know, yeah. And it's fun, too, even in the cabin here. You know, if you're out front, you'll see we have some mosaics on the bottom and in the gable outside of fossil bits. But even in the siding, you know, this wood here, you know, this cedar in here, it came from old trees out in the woods, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like a continuous recycling of materials in place. I like that a lot. Even the colors, you know, the color of the rail out there is the color of a prairie flower out here, you know, things like that. Yeah, you'll never know. It'll be curious to see what happens with your art in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll do some works in large botanical gardens that are, you know, feature pieces or focal points for the gardens or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, we talked about MSMS over in Columbus earlier with the meet and greet, or even since you've been here, have you or some of those people, have y'all reconnected since you've been up in the area?
Actually, no. I mean, I'm only here for a week, and
yeah,
I know that that's not a lot of time. So I'm just really, I've been really focused on just kind of being here, you know, I trying to make limited runs to the town and just really being out here and being with me, myself and nature and the work, you know. I would like to reconnect with some of my old teachers, though. I would.
Maybe we could connect with them tonight and invite them to your show.
Hey, Dr. Easterling, in Columbus, if you're in Columbus, come over tomorrow.
Might need to connect that. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh man, what else is like? I want to like spend a little more time talking about Mars and Joe. Man, I'm just from the first time that you and I sat down to where we're at now, like the cabin we're sitting in, the studio / workspace that you have is almost completed. None of this was here. The lake wasn't even here. And you were just continuing to cultivate and create a space for people to come out here and not only be wild by nature, but like everywhere you look, there's art and there's something to kind of behold. Is like what's the future looking like?
Well, you know, I've been out here 30 years. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, it was a little tiny house and a grown up little pond, and the rest was like a field, a few random trees, and you know, I kind of had various visions to where things would go. Not a firm plan, you know, because you never know. I really didn't think it'd ever be this big, because I needed, you know, you need money, you need time. But I finally, you know, I was able to retire a little earlier from MSU, and I'm still there part time. But you know, I got more time, and I work in phases. I work in jumps. All like, this week I'm gonna do a whole bunch of this, or this week I'm gonna do a whole bunch of that. So it's been fun to watch it grow and where it's gonna go. You know, I don't know. I want to do some things in our wooded areas. I want to make a sculpture trail out here. I want to learn more and more about other things that I'm not good at, or I think I'm probably okay at. But like, I'd like to learn to weld and do sculptures and metal. I'd like to do more. I have a lot of art friends around the world, and we got some plans to do some, like a giant ant. You know, we want to, you know. But it's not just the...
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
kind of? Yeah, like a 10, 12-foot ant concrete. It's not about just the art, though. It's not about just the artist. It's about, you know, part of the art for me is like building a weird little building or planting plants that I dug up. You know, I've dug plants up from all over the state and old ladies' lawns and wheel trade. You know, I got, you know, they all have some meaning. And then when you put them in different spaces artistically or not, it's a matter of opinion, and let those... native plants grow up in between them, you know, you create this really cool setting, and I like where it's going. It's very scenic out here. You know, sometimes it's always different. Even in the winter when everything's dead, it's different. You need to appreciate seasons, I think. Not every day is a little different. What does that give you? What can you find with that, you know? But when we finish up this other building, I plan on doing more workshops with people. And inviting people to lead workshops, not as much me as others. I'm not an art teacher. I've given art lessons, and I don't really like the idea of giving art lessons. I like the idea of giving inspiration or opening your mind and letting you find who you are as a unique person. So I'm good at that, but I want to bring in other people for specific techniques, you know. Maybe someone wants to make some clay pots, you know, or maybe they want to make some, baskets or... I don't care. We can paint at sunset out on the porch out here.
You're killing it, Joe, man. I'd love to see that. I mean, I think
so. It's just the evolution is where, yeah, I want it to go. I want to have more music events, and you know, I want to have we've had more things since we have the space growing that I didn't, you know, like we had some MSU thesis students out here a few weeks ago. And they had a day, and it was like kind of a wellness day, and they contacted me, can we come out and just get away, and I was wandering around the trails, and there were artists out here just sitting in the woods or painting or writing or just soaking in the sun. I mean, you know, that's what I want that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to share this, you know, and I like that it wasn't anything special when I got here. It was a place no one wanted. You can take something and make it better. Whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, same aspect, like, with you, like, taking pieces of steel and turn it into something, right?
Yeah.
Take some trash and make it art. Take some junk and make it art.
Man, you know, I appreciate you, Joe. I think you're doing great work out here. I'd love to teach a welding workshop out here, or whatever.
Well, he'll be teaching a welding workshop.
There you go.
I'll bring my welder.
Man. Yeah, that's what I couldn't do this thing like you do, Vance. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to build relationships over time with people to do anything like this. I do a lot myself, and I like to do a lot myself. But it's not just, you can't do it by yourself. Like, I have bartered for free wood in that building up here. You know, I've made deals with people who had equipment to do the dirt work, and I paid them along the way. They worked out ways where it could work. I mean, you just can't do it by yourself. Every hardware store in town, East Mississippi, Discount Lumber, you know, you get to know the people that work there and own the places, and they... You know, and then you go to those places and you talk to them, and you see that they have your art in their offices, but they help you out with Farrell, Calhoun, paint. These people, they all help you, mm-hmm. and they keep helping you when they see what you're doing in the community, and they don't really care that I'm probably nothing like them. Like, I'm a weirdo, man. We you know, if we got to talking about the stuff, we'd probably be like, ah, but no, it's cool. We're all doing something in common, and it helps the community at large and other people. And you don't know where it's going to go. You can inspire one person, and you hear about them a few years later. They come talk to you like, because of something you said that random day, I'm a art professor at, or a high school teacher, or I'm a whatever. I went this way because of something you said, or you know, I'm a designer for Disney, whatever the case may be. You know, and it's always fun to hear those stories later. And I'm getting older, so I get to hear more of those. You know. And I like that a lot.
Well, yeah, dude, I can only imagine, like, Lawson, with, like, some of your sculptures, like, laid up across these Mississippi towns, and, like, just seeing, like, and you may never hear the story, but some kid or somebody might just lay their eyes on it and be like, yeah, that's it, you know? Yeah. Do you ever think about that?
Man, all the time, you know, and I think, you know, part of me growing up in a rural town like Indianola, you know, not really having much art exposure, that kind of led me more into that public art realm. But, you know, I'd never even thought about the fact that, like, man, people are going to have their own experiences with this work. I mean, even same with murals, you know.
You're not there to tell the story.
I'm not there. They have their own intimate relationship with the work. I'm separate from the work. But I still feel this huge connection to it. And ideally... or in my mind's mind, I love to think that everybody loves them and has such a great time with them.
Well, and you kind of mentioned the rural thing. We're in Mississippi. We don't have some of the things that some larger places do. You know, like when you put a sculpture or a mural up somewhere in this area, it can be life-changing to a young kid who's not familiar with art, even know that you could go into art, or more than art. Maybe they see your spiral and, man, they're like, I want to be an engineer. I mean, it can influence you, man, in so many ways.
You know, what's crazy is, like, I remember the things that influenced me when I was a kid was, like I said earlier, the cardboard displays.
Yeah, like pop-ups for, like, the movies.
Oh, yeah.
That, and then also there was this sign, I think it's still there in Memphis. It was this key. It was like a storage unit place, and it was a sign, and it was a big key. And I love that key. It was so cool. And I was like, man, that key is so badass. But, you know, just little things like that just can, you know, you never know who that's going to touch, you know.
But you know it's going to affect somebody.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I got three questions, and I'd like to ask each of you these questions because I'd like for everyone listening to know is Lawson, Joe, whoever goes first is if they want to connect with you and your work, is there a website, is there social media, where do people go to connect with you and what you're doing?
So I don't have a website. I probably need to change that, but I'm on Instagram, and my
what's that handle?
Handle is at Lawson Maine. That's LawsonMaine.
Joe, how do people connect with what you got going on here at Mars?
We have multiple ways. Obviously, I'm on Instagram, and it's MACGOWN_art. And it's the same on Facebook. I have a McGowan art page, and then I have a website, joemcgowan.com. And if you want to contact me directly, I'd recommend an email. You know, it's art@joemcgowan.com. That's a really good way. I'm easy to find online. You type in Joe McGowan in Google. In fact, if you type in McGowan Art Studio, we have a nice Google page that comes up. It's on Google Maps. You can find everything you want. Just type in my name and art and you'll find anything you want and more, probably.
Right on. And Lawson, upcoming events or plans, anything that you would like to share? And where can people find your work?
I'm not really sure of any upcoming events. I've got a vacation planned for the end of the month. That's so exciting. But I got work across the Delta. I got, pieces in Cleveland.
Yeah, a piece in Starkville.
Piece in Starkville.
Where's that at in Starkville?
It's at the Travis Outlaw Annex.
Yeah.
It's a nice sculpture.
Yeah, it's right off Lynn Lane, guys. Go check it out. I mean, I know a lot of you go in there to walk and play or do whatever else. Go check it out.
Outside sculpture. Sure. Yeah. Nice.
I've got some work around. It's hard for
put
me.
Put it all in your mind?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's around. Just holler at me if you want to see it. I'll tell you where it is.
All right, last question, though, walking out of the door is, Lawson, man, what do you want to leave us with? Is, like, if you could, there's someone listening, and, man, they're right out the door of being inspired to do art, what would you tell them?
I would say take care of yourself and don't take it too seriously. Just do it and have fun, play, and you know, just have fun, you know, play.
What would you say?
Whew. To inspire young artists?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with all of that. I think it's important to be free and open and not stress over if it's perfect or not. Everybody has their own unique way of making art. And then, but further that, I would, I think it's important to be consistent. Make art all the time. Try to make art every day. Make art work. You know, if you want to do it for a living, it's a job, but it should be a fun job. But you got to do it. You got to take the time to do it no matter what. And then you need to make connections, and then you need to promote your art. You need to let people see your art and know what you're doing with it. And if the purpose is selling, you need to let them know what you're doing.
You talking to me right now?
I'm talking to everybody. But like, a lot of artists are very good at art. And then, but there is the unfortunate side of the business side. But it's not, rocket science. You know, we can all do it. But make art, work hard, be consistent, always push, always do the best you can, always be the best. I like to think you should be the best at whatever you're doing. If you're slapping paint on a wall with your fingers and toes, do it with gusto. You know, if you're gonna be a hyper realistic painter, you know, be as good as anybody in the world can be. No one's limiting how good you are but yourself. Always push yourself a little more. That's my, I think. You know, and you know, everybody has a different end line.
Yeah, right on, dude. I can't tell you, like, I've had the privilege, honor to be close to the McGowan Pence when we go out to work these art festivals, and it's always good to either hear the passing comments after they pass by the McGowan Tent, or to look over there at the tent and see just how captivated people are with it. And, man, it's putting yourself out there. And,
don't give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't give up. It's hard. Being an artist is an up and down road. It's a journey.
Yeah.
You know, and you may have to have other odd jobs here and there, whatever. But keep consistently making your art, and you know, you'll be all right. And at the end of the day, you'll be all right.
Right on. Anything else to do? Go to the MSU Idea Shop, 114 East Main, downtown Starkville, Mississippi, tomorrow. Lawson, will you have anything for sale, t-shirts, anything?
I'll have some stuff, yeah, I'll have some stuff for sale.
Come support Lawson before he goes on vacation. Give him some little spending money.
appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys, this has been another episode of Porch Talk. We're at Mars, and we got some cooking to do.
That's right.
Thank you. got a new car. Picked her up today. Not going too far. Don't wanna be late. And it's a real train. Can't find the keys. Still need a shoulder.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.